As Christians and members of the Family International, giving and unselfishness should be cornerstones in our lives. It's not only according to God's word to give to others, but it's also good business and deeply satisfying. How much we give to others is a personal choice, but our decisions in this regard will have a large bearing on our success and our testimony of the Lord's love. There are many ways we each can exercise unselfishness in our lives. We can share our love, our time, our services, and our finances. We can help those who are less fortunate, and we can help God's work. Giving is a life principle. It's the concept of being like Jesus, who cared for others, healed the sick, took time both with those of influence as well as the poor. Jesus loved everyone. Jesus gave. In fact, he gave to such a degree that eventually he made the ultimate sacrifice and gave his life so that we could be saved. Every day we have the opportunity to be more like Jesus and to give to others. We can give our time to others. We can take time out of our busy schedules to focus our attention on people as individuals. We can make them feel important by including them in our lives, giving them our time, sharing God's love, even if only for a moment. We should never underestimate the power of attention given to the individual. We all need to be reminded from time to time that we are unique individuals, that we matter, and we are loved. Victor Hugo said, "The supreme happiness of life is the conviction that one is loved, loved for oneself, or better yet, loved despite oneself." In the following story, we see the value of love in the form of personal attention.
A young sociology professor sent his class out to a Baltimore slum to interview 200 boys and predict their chances for the future. The students, shocked by slum conditions, predicted that about 90% of the boys they interviewed would someday serve time in prison. 25 years later, the same professor assigned another class to find out how the predictions had turned out. Of the 190 of the original boys located, only 4 had ever been to jail. Why was the prediction so wrong? More than 100 of the men remembered one high school teacher, a Miss O'Rourke, as having been an inspiration in their lives. After a long search, Sheila O'Rourke, more than 70 years old, was found. But when asked to explain her influence over her former students, she was puzzled. "All I can say," she finally decided, "is that I loved every one of them."
Giving love to another person brings its own satisfaction. Not only do you feel the fulfillment of brightening someone else's day and lightening someone else's load, but that's when the law of God's rewards comes into play, and the often quoted adage, "If you give, you will receive." If you've been looking for someone to make you happy, maybe you need to look for someone to make happy, and then happiness will find you. "For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." It's just one of God's rules and laws of the Spirit, which are just as definite and certain as the scientific laws of physics, such as gravity. The laws of the Spirit, however, never fail. They always work, either for you or against you, according to how you obey them and whether or not you obey them. And the first law is the law of love, unselfish love, love for God and others. Life, liberty, and the giving of happiness to others. These are things that only God can give, and the only things that will ever satisfy your spirit. So if you want to be happy and make others happy, seek the satisfaction of the Spirit in God. For the fashion of this world passes away and the lust thereof, but he and the love that do the will of God abides forever. Long live love. Love is God. God is love. As Christians, we are privileged because we can give to others the things of great value: comfort, prayer, encouragement, and the truth of God's word. We have found the secret to true happiness in Jesus, and we have the peace of mind of knowing that when we die, we're going to spend eternity with the one we love the most in all the world, all the universe, Jesus. No matter what difficulties or hardship we're facing, we can always give of our time, service, and love to others. And as we do, the Lord will give back to us, including the encouragement and sense of fulfillment that we desire. Here is an example of this principle as told by Billy Graham.
To a woman who wrote me of the boredom that came into her life when her children were grown and gone from home, I replied, "In the past, your immediate family needed most of your time and strength. Now you can extend the range of your love. There are children in your neighborhood who need understanding and friendship. There are aged people near you who are starved for companionship. Blind people who cannot even enjoy the television you find so boring. Why not get out and find the joy of helping others?" Weeks later, she wrote again, "I tried your prescription and it works. I have walked from night into day."
I'm sure we've all had those times when we didn't think we could afford to give of our time. We were too busy, or of our money, we were too broke. Or even of our care and concern, we felt tapped out emotionally and spiritually. We wanted someone else to pick up the slack, and we thought we'd make up the difference later, after things settled down and we were in a better position to give. But really, the Lord's not going to let us off the hook that easily. He walked way out of his way to love and encourage one woman at a well. He was tired and spent, and yet he healed them all. He made the ultimate sacrifice in giving his life for us. So how can we not give to those who need our love, help, service, or encouragement? Consider this situation.
Once, when Mr. LaGuardia, the famous ex-mayor of New York, was presiding at a police court, they brought in a trembling old man before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. He said his family was starving. "Well, I've got to punish you," said Mr. LaGuardia. "The law makes no exception, and I can do nothing but sentence you to a fine of $10. Then he added, after reaching into his pocket, "And here's the $10 to pay your fine, and now I remit the fine." Then, tossing the $10 bill into his famous outsized hat, he said, "Furthermore, I'm going to fine everybody in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a man has to steal bread in order to eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." The hat was passed, and the incredulous old man, with a light of heaven in his eyes, left the courtroom with $47.50.
I know we've all had many blessed opportunities to give to others. And the amazing thing is that the Lord never fails to give back. You can't outgive God. The Bible says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Here is an example of this principle.
8 years ago, Susan received a letter from an old friend, Helen. Helen's niece was a severe anorexic. She was going to die unless she received intensive treatment at a very expensive clinic thousands of miles from their home. The program cost, however, was way beyond the family's budget, given that the father was unemployed and had health problems of his own. So the family sent out a letter to family members and other friends requesting money. Susan was both moved and a little surprised because people, even relatives, rarely asked for help so overtly. With 3 kids of their own, it was hard for Susan and her husband to decide how much to give. We ended up sending $500, which seemed like too little and simultaneously way too much for us, says Susan. But others responded generously as well. The little girl was admitted into a program for treatment and survived. "Without the letter they sent, she would not have made it," said Susan. 3 years later, Susan's husband lost his job. He also suffered severe health problems. His unemployment period stretched out well over a year, and Susan's family was forced to live on savings that quickly disappeared. Even though Susan was working, they were getting very frightened about their financial situation. Then, one day a card arrived in the mail from a woman Susan didn't know. It was Helen's mother, the anorexic girl's grandmother. She wrote that she had heard that Susan and her husband were going through a rough patch, and she wanted to help out. She went on to write that she knew what it was like to have financial difficulties. Susan said, "This amazing woman who had raised 3 children on her own, working in low-paying service jobs, sent us a check for $2,000. When you truly understand the full power of nice, You realize that by treating others with kindness, respect, and generosity, your actions get paid back in one way or another, with interest.
Unselfishness is not, however, just about giving money. Sometimes it's easier to give money than it is to give of ourselves. To give to someone else, your time, attention, sympathy, understanding, and prayers is humbling. To do so, you have to be the real deal. You have to reach out, to understand, to feel compassion, and to do something about it. Often it's those sacrifices of time that really count, such as when you give up your day off to participate in the local charitable work, or to spend time with the children of a single mother, or you teach an illiterate person to read, or you visit someone who is sick. It's not just about money. It's about what you give from your heart, out of love. One of my favorite stories is about a missionary who was teaching in Africa. Before Christmas, he had been telling his native students how Christians, as an expression of their joy, gave each other presents on Christ's birthday. On Christmas morning, one of the natives brought the missionary a seashell of lustrous beauty. When asked where he had discovered such an extraordinary shell, the native said he had walked many miles to a bay, the only spot where such shells could be found. "I think it was wonderful of you to travel so far to get this lovely gift for me," the teacher exclaimed. His eyes brightening, the native answered, "Long walk, part of gift. Not what we give, but what we share. For the gift without the giver is bare." We each have many opportunities to help others, both Christians and non-Christians. God helping us, we should be constantly aware of the fact that we are rich in spirit, and often physically too, comparatively speaking. We have so much to give. We're billionaires and true riches. You know that expression, love begins at home? Well, that could very well be applied to the opportunities we have to help our brethren, other Christians, family members, and missionaries. Stephen will tell us the experience in which he and his wife, Amber, were recipients of God's amazing love through the brethren.
The sun was slipping past the horizon as I drove up the narrow two-lane road in the mountains of central Mexico. Switching on my headlights, I looked in the rearview mirror to check on my little team. I could see Amber, my wife, sleeping, probably the first time she had slept in days. And my three little girls were sleeping too. Tori, my brilliant four-year-old. Shelley had just turned two and she was talking up a storm. And Vanessa, our new little baby. I would have liked to stop for a cup of coffee, but I didn't want to spend the money. We needed all that we had for gas to get us up to Dallas. The truth is, even if I could have afforded it, I wouldn't have stopped. Stopping would have woken everyone up. But more importantly, we're in a race. We're in a race against time. I don't mind driving at night. Children usually sleep. It's cooler. Gives me time to think. I need some time to think. It'd been a long year. I let my mind take me back to the day we found out Amber was pregnant. We were traveling to a new mission location and we'd saved up enough money to buy this ugly little teal green Ford Windstar with hail damage and a rooftop carrier. We traveled all the way to the east coast of the U.S. to visit Amber's family, and then back across to the west coast to see mine. Poor Amber. She fought morning sickness all the way. Eventually, we joined a pioneer home in the south of Mexico. Tired and battle-weary, we arrived 3 weeks before Amber's due date. Amber kept having a premonition that something was not quite right with the baby. I said she worried too much. Amber, however, was right. When Vanessa was born, she was quickly whisked away to an incubator. She stayed there for 3 days. The doctors were unable to find an explanation for her breathing difficulty and so sent us home. A few days later, we found ourselves in the emergency room of a state-run children's hospital. We lived out of our van in the parking lot. Stayed there for 3 weeks. There it was determined that Vanessa had a heart condition that would require corrective surgery. Exactly the extent of the condition wasn't clear, but the doctors there urged us to return to the U.S. for better medical care. A home of missionaries in Dallas had agreed to take us in for a few months while Vanessa's condition was fully diagnosed and the necessary corrective surgery was performed. That's where we're headed now. When we arrived in the home in Dallas in the wee hours of the morning, we found a beautiful little room that had been prepared for us. Our daughters were absolutely delighted. They found two little beds made just for them. Tori, my daughter, asked in wonder, "Mommy, how long can we stay in this nice hotel?" The nicest place they'd slept in probably over a year. Trip to the cardiologist ended with an ambulance to the intensive care unit, the Dallas Medical Center, where we basically lived for over 2 months. Heart surgery, weak lungs, feeding tube, intubations, multiple strep infections. It's a lot of long nights. Amber and I took shifts so that one of us could stay at the hospital around the clock. And all the while, these wonderful missionaries took care of our children. They cooked us food, washed our laundry, loaned us a car when ours had to go into the shop, took shifts at the hospital so we could get rest and spend time with our little girls. They even paid the tolls so that we could take a shorter route to and from the hospital. Finally, we were able to take little Vanessa home to recover. And they moved us into the master bedroom just to accommodate the large amount of medical equipment that was needed for her care. All that time, they never breathed a word about the financial cost or the burden that it was to the home. And they took care of our every need. 6 weeks later, Vanessa briefly slipped into a coma, and we rushed her back to the hospital. Over the next 3 months, doctors tried to figure out why, what were the problems, test after test after test. And as the test results came back one by one, each one just hit you like a ton of bricks. She had brain damage, she was deaf, blind. Her heart condition would require multiple surgeries. In short, her situation was terminal. Question we all had was, how long did she have? A year, perhaps two? We didn't know. No one knew. The ethics committee at the hospital released her into our care so she could die at home with us. We knew that the missionaries we were visiting with had given all they could. For months, they shared everything they had. They never asked for anything, and I knew that there was no way that they could continue to just support us like that. So Amber and I, we quietly prepared to move. We found a small little one-bedroom apartment close to the hospital. And these missionaries, they did something I didn't expect at all. They asked us to stay. I was pretty sure, I thought maybe they didn't really understand what they were getting into. Maybe they didn't realize that Amber and I would need to take 24-hour shifts with the baby. That Vanessa would need constant medical attention, weekly visits from nurses. It already turned their home upside down, and it would continue, and we didn't know how much longer it would continue. We also weren't sure how much we'd be able to contribute financially or practically to the running of the home, if anything at all. Thing is, they did understand. And they quietly replied, "Whatever you need, as long as you need it, we're here for you and your family." You have no idea how deeply that touched us. Amazing people, really. A few months later, while resting in her mother's arms, Vanessa quietly passed away to join Jesus in heaven. I still miss her, and that was 8 years ago. And to this day, this remains the most vivid example of sacrificial giving I've personally seen. This was an amazing example of true unconditional love and kindness, the kind that loves someone just because we both love the same Jesus. A love that gives until it hurts, and then gives some more. A love that says whatever you need, as long as you need it, it's yours, even when you know that the receiver can never, ever pay. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye've done it unto me." I am forever indebted to these dear family members. They not only said that they believed the truth of God's word, but they proved it to me. Thank you.
The Bible says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Thank you for giving to the Lord and to those in need, including the brethren, the lost and the poor and underprivileged. Jesus said, "Whatsoever you spend, I will repay." He never fails, and you can never outgive God. If you want your life to be blessed, fulfilling, and happy, look for ways to give to those around you. Make it a habit. Make giving unselfishly of your time, service, and finances part of your personal code of ethics, and you'll find you will not lack, as God will give back to you in abundance, and your life of unselfishness will be a blessed life.
Living unselfishly is like giving yourself a gift, because whatever you give or share with others will come back to you. That's a promise. You can never outgive God, even if you tried. When your Christian love moves from just being a sermon to being a living example of Jesus' generosity, care, and sympathy, it's like you've just dressed your love in work clothes and set about to fulfill the mission and build something beautiful. That's the kind of practical, everyday love that makes people stand up and take notice, as it's the supernatural, unconditional love of the Lord. There are so many ways to give. We can give of our material possessions, our time, our prayers, our advice and sympathy, and our assistance. Any giving is worth it, because nothing that is given to others will ever be lost, overlooked, or forgotten by the Lord. A detailed list of your kindnesses and the resultant rewards that you will receive is being kept in heaven. You'll never regret giving, both in this life and in the life to come.